you would turn with me to Ephesians 4. We'll be talking about the unity in Christ. We're going to read the whole chapter. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given, as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, "When he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave his gifts to people." What does "he ascended" mean except that he also descended into the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned. When you heard about Christ and were taught in him, in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true holiness and righteousness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we all are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, as in Christ God forgave you. The reading of the word of the Lord. Let us pray. O Lord, most merciful, wonderful, and awesome God, Lord, we come before you having heard and having read your word. Lord, I pray that you will lay these words on our hearts. Lord, I ask that you be with me as I present this message, and may these be your words, Lord. May it not be from me. Lord, may you just speak to each and every one of us this morning. Send your Holy Spirit to dwell here. In thy name we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen. I want to begin with a story this morning. This happened a couple years ago when I was in Holland, Michigan. And I was down there for some RCA classes. And I went out to eat with a group of other seminary students in the RCA. And these were from students were from various locations. California, New York City, you know, East Coast, West Coast, all came together in Holland. There's probably a dozen of us sitting around having some supper. And somehow we got on the topic of guns. And I quickly found out that I was the only one in the group that owned a gun, much less had a concealed carry permit. Well, this raised a little bit of tension. One of the other students told me that he thought it was wrong to own a gun, because he said that his reading of Isaiah is that we're supposed to live as though we're in the new creation. We're supposed to beat our plows, our swords into plowshares, and so on. Which is a really good argument, you know? It made me think. So I sat there and I thought a little bit. And I looked over at him eating his big juicy cheeseburger. I asked him, so are we all supposed to be vegetarian then? Because it says the lion will lay with the lamb, or the wolf will lay with the lamb, and the lion will eat grass like cattle. And then I could see his wheels turning. He was thinking, and we kind of just talked a little bit. You know, I explained about, you know, where I come from, guns are just seen as another tool. We use them for protecting our livestock from predators, or to put down an animal humanely if it's very ill. But also that I see nothing wrong with having a firearm for self-protection. And we can refer to Scripture that there is a time for war and a time for peace, a time to kill and a time to heal, and so on. So we can sit here and discuss these things. And we didn't go so deep into that, but I just wanted to use this as a way of understanding that we have differences. We are all going to have differences. I don't want to discredit this pastor in any way. I actually visited him at his church, heard him preach, and I agreed with every word he said. It was an excellent sermon. I have a lot of respect for him. I just wanted to let you know that there are things that we're not going to always agree on. As we've just read, Paul urges us to find unity with each other in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. But how can we find unity with those around us who have such different opinions and ideas about so many different things in the world today? I have just a few things listed. And as you read each and every one of those this morning, I bet you have some emotions. You all have thoughts about those things. Each and every one of us does. We have Christians who are Black Lives Matter supporters. And we have Christians who see the Black Lives Matter as a tool of Satan to bring division. We have Christians who are deeply concerned about COVID-19 virus. And Christians who are not. Christians who are against guns and those who are for guns. Christians against masks in public use and Christians who are for masks. We have Christians who think police officers should be privatized companies. And those who are happy with the way police are currently doing their jobs. And of course, we all have different views on different politicals and policies. All the politics stuff that none of us really like to talk about. Or some of us do, I guess. We have different opinions on that too. It may be a little bit overwhelming today when you look at this list, and this is a pretty short list. There's a lot of other things out there. But it may be a little overwhelming to see how divided not just the nation, the world, but Christianity is over these and many more issues. The truth is that Christianity has always been divided. Those who know something about the history of the RCA alone will know that our denomination has been split several times. Ever since coming to America in 1628, there's been division over loyalty to the British crown, division over slavery, division over Freemasonry, women in ministry, and so on. Christianity in general has always been in constant struggle with the things that this world throws at us. Every side of every issue has been able to find some scriptural basis for their beliefs, for their ideas. In our scripture today, Paul is pointing out the need to be unified in Christ. Although he does not point out specific things that are going on that he's talking about, he's warning against being divided as a church, but also warning against falling into the patterns of sin and their old life. Paul recognized that many people, regardless of which side of an issue they are on, can become hardened, and they can refuse to associate with those who think differently than them. Paul wants to break down the barriers today, the barriers that separate God's people, because he knows that when we focus on ourselves and how right we are, no matter how small the issue, we're no longer unified. We cannot effectively do God's work in the world. This is why Satan pushes division so hard. Because Christians will use most or all of their energy fighting each other over small things, instead of following Christ and reaching out to others. As we have seen throughout history, there's always been some division in the church. But why is that? Well, it's obviously because of the pressure of the world, mixed with our natural desire to please ourselves, that fallen nature that we all have. We all want things for ourselves. We want what's best for ourselves and our families. We want to be happy. We want enjoyment. There's nothing wrong with that. But we do have to recognize something that I think is very critical and crucial in each and every one of our lives. You see, every person is, in a sense, addicted to sin. Every Christian is on a road of recovery from that addiction. The same way that those who are addicted to drugs, alcohol, pornography, and many other things struggle to stay clean and have to work hard to avoid falling back into those patterns, those old habits. Each and every Christian has a similar experience with sin. Every person on earth does. We all have times of temptation, anger, jealousy, greed, and so much more. Paul tells us in verse 22 through 24, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true holiness and righteousness." We as humans, we need to recognize that we are going to be fighting against sin and the powers of Satan. And we must set ourselves aside and focus on Christ. We must change our attitude about life We must do everything out of love for Christ. If we live our lives out of gratitude for Christ's sacrifice, if we live our lives out of love to Christ, then we will not only be able to respond in a loving manner to those who disagree with us, or even those who are doing wrong, but we will also not be swept into sinful anger so easily. You see, we need to fight against sin and yet be a unified body of Christians. This is kind of the juggle that Paul puts forth here, because we cannot be unified with those who are clearly corrupted by evil desires, by deceitful desires, as he says. So we do need to uphold God's word. We need to live in a way that we are God's people, that his light shines through us. We must treat others with love and respect, but we must not join them in their corruption. We must show them the correct way in a loving manner. As Paul says in verse 17 through 19, "So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separate from a life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed." Due to the hardening of their hearts. So let's think again about sin as an addiction. There are those who have given themselves over completely to the thing that they're addicted to. They have hardened their hearts, and they no longer even try to fight against it. Paul is warning us not to become that way with our sin. If we stop fighting, if we stop fighting against our evil desires to please ourselves, then we will lose the battle. And we are not glorifying Christ. Just think about those who have gone so far down the way of desiring to please themselves, or those who they love, that they justify their sinful actions and even try to twist scripture to somehow fit their need, to make it okay. These people often misuse God's love as a way to help them justify their feelings, to help them have some kind of hope. This is not justification by faith. It's a gross misrepresentation of God, Christ's love. Christ did indeed die for the sins of those who will call on him, for the sins of his people. But that doesn't give us an excuse to sin even more. We can't say, "Christ died for my sins, so I'm good. I can do this or that." That's not what it means. Christ died for the sins of those who truly believe in him and seek to follow him out of nothing other than love and gratitude. Those who are motivated by selfish ambition and worldly enjoyment simply cannot and will not be unified with Christ and his people. It's impossible. Take, for example, the early Roman Catholic Church. And I'm not speaking out against the Roman Catholics, but I'm speaking out against what they did in the 1500s. And the selling of indulgences. For the church leaders, it was a way to make money. I've heard it described as bad fundraising. And for the people, it was a way to be sinful and still be able to pay their way to heaven, to buy their way to heaven, or so they thought. Because what was going on is the people would go out and sin, and then they could come into the church or the pope or the bishops, and they could buy these indulgences. And says, your sin that you did is forgiven you for 10 pieces of silver. Let me use a little bit more of a hotter topic today as an example. And I'm sure we all have mixed emotions about this as well. Homosexuality. The LGBTQ movement today. This is a self-indulgent movement. It's focused on personal emotions. It's not focused on Christ. They will use Christ's love as an excuse for their actions. It's a sin, just like any other sin that we commit. If I go out and steal something, if I go out and steal a car, well, Christ wants me to be happy, so I thought this car would help me be happy. It's the same kind of mentality. We're all sinners. I'm not trying to single out the homosexuality movement. But it is very clear that they are no way are they serving Christ. Or seeking to live their lives out of love and gratitude for his sacrifice. It's just silly to think that Christ sacrificed so we won't have to. Christ sacrificed so we can be saved. That doesn't mean that life will be easy and carefree, but rather that even though life is difficult and Satan works hard, to derail us, to derail our faith, throw temptations in our path. Christ sacrificed so we can still have hope in him. We can find joy in his promise of salvation. To those who, as Paul says, put off your old self, put on your new self. We cannot bring all of our sinful baggage along with us when we begin to follow Christ. When we truly begin living a life for Christ, we have no choice but to change. The children's message this morning is a perfect example. When Christ covers us, we change. Change into something better. Something more beautiful, something more useful to God's kingdom. We will see the world in a new light. Sure, there are things that we'll always disagree with our fellow Christians about. But as long as both parties are true Christ followers, we can experience unity in Christ. It doesn't matter if we disagree about carpet colors or car opinions, or even if we disagree about whether a mask protects us or not. or whether we should have guns or not. Those things, as long as we still follow Christ out of love for Him, not out of love for us, out of love for Him, those things we can find unity in. We can agree to disagree on some things. Other things we have to stand up for. We have to stand against some of the sinful, evil movements in our nation, in our world. We don't always have to agree on everything, but we do have to agree that Jesus Christ is the one and only way of salvation, and that the Holy Bible, God's holy word, is infallible. We have to believe in God's word. And we must try to live according to that word, as it does clearly condemn sin and selfishness. We must follow Christ and be intentional about growing and maturing in Him, so that we, as members of the body of Christ, well, as Paul says in verse 14, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. So we no longer be tossed back and forth by all of the little things, all of the things that you go on Facebook and you have people just shouting at each other from both sides of the issue. We need to be intentional about growing and maturing in Christ. Maturing. So I'd like you to go this week. Ponder the things that you're holding on too tightly to. Things that could be taking your focus off of Christ, or separating you from your fellow Christ followers. Whether that be a sin that you can't seem to stop doing, or an addiction that continues to pull you back in, or maybe it's just anger against those who disagree with you on something. Anything. We all have those emotions that build up in us. Whether it be politics or just doing something differently than we're used to. We as Christians and as Christ's church in the world need to work on coming together in unity for the purpose of building God's kingdom. As Paul says in verse 32, this begins with forgiveness and Christ-like compassion, coupled with the need to begin with repentance and turning back to the truths of God's word. So often I think the world gets caught up in a feel-good gospel. A do what you want mentality. Like it might not matter. But it does matter. Satan continues to work to bring division. All you have to do is glance at the news. You can see that. So let's be intentional about reaching out to each other. Being unified for Christ, not for us. It's not about us. It's It's about Christ, and it's about our neighbor. So let's think about that this week. As the news headlines continue to roll in, pray about it. Search yourselves. Amen.